workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome, everyone, to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Pauline, and today's episode is going to be kind of a fun one because I am going to be discussing some bizarre, wacky, crazy, weird, interesting, gross, just some random medical practices, health remedies, ideas, I guess you can say old wives' tale, tried and true, perhaps just in your head, placebo effect type remedies for getting rid of or treating or diagnosing just a bunch of things today that I thought would be kind of fun for this episode to kind of switch it up a little bit and make it, you know, just another one of those fun shows that we discuss some things that we, you know, you can try if you want to try. You don't have to try. We can think it's gross together. Of course, always, always, always do things that are in a line and in accordance with your healthcare professional, your nutritionist, your whatever, whoever your medical provider may be. Never try something without their consent, especially for some of us who have certain ailments and things that may affect us right now. So always be smart and wise in what you try and what you do, and that not everything that you read, see, hear, or, you know, whatever is necessarily a good thing or something that you should try. But anyway, so that's just kind of like my piece before we get started, because I don't want anybody to feel that you should try these things and it affect your health at all. This is more of just like a fun episode. And if some of you guys have tried some of these things and if they work, that's cool. And if they don't, you know, it's kind of like a do-it-yourself type project. Sometimes they turn out great. Sometimes they turn out completely awful. And then other times, they might not turn out exactly how you plan, but it's a beautiful mistake. So you never know. Anyway, so I wanted to start off with some medieval medical practices. So these are like a long time ago, some things that they would do, what they would try to kind of deal with certain ailments. But now, I don't think these are definitely not things that I would really try. Definitely not, especially with medical advances now. But anyways, so here are a few that I wanted to share. So one of them was using urine as an antiseptic. So it's not really that common. It wasn't really common, but there is some evidence that suggests that urine was occasionally used as an antiseptic in the medieval era. So during Henry VIII's surgeon, Thomas Vicary, recommended that all battle wounds should be washed in urine. And then in 1666, the physician George Thompson recommended urine be used on the plague, and there was even a bottled version called essence of urine. Now, I don't know. It just sounds gross. Sounds really gross. I don't want anybody to pee on me. Or I don't know. It's just gross. Urine is considered sterile when it leaves the body and may have been a healthier alternative than most water, especially at that time, which especially they didn't have the kind of filters and cleaning and plumbing that we have now. So I kind of get the thought behind it, but just sounds gross to me, and that's definitely not something that I am going to try. Cataract surgery that was performed during the Middle Ages was often performed with a thick needle, and the procedure involved pushing the cornea to the back of the eye. This is something that sounds horrible. It's making my eyes water right now. And now that, you know, it does say that eye surgery then was changed once Islamic medicine became an influence over European practices, whereas rather than a needle, a metal syringe was inserted through the white part of the eye, the sclera, and then used to extract the cataracts via suction. So, you know, different methods and things like that and how they have evolved. And then also, you know, we've heard about using, what is that, leeches to draw out the bad blood and things like that. And then there was also, anesthesia. So anesthesia is only about 150 years old. So it's very, very, very new. It's very, very young as far as science is concerned. So before that, there were herbs that they would brew and mix with things such as wine and use to sedate patients. A lot of this, one common herbal anesthetic was known as Dawal. And then there's also, you can mix it with like lettuce and vinegar. But then it could also be kind of deadly when used with a lot of opium. And using them incorrectly could actually result in the patient dying. So thankfully, we don't have to go through that trial and error. And it still is a risk when you are put to sleep and things like that for surgeries or different procedures and things like that. And they try to do local anesthetics nowadays with a lot of certain things. Like when you go to the dentist, you may be familiar, like maybe they'll just like numb your gum area or your lip. Or if you're having small, like a small surgery or like stitches, they may just numb the area around the wound, why they stitch you up and things like that, rather than using general anesthesia or putting you completely to sleep. And then, this one, I'm glad that we don't have to deal with anymore, but this one is another one that I'm far, far more excited that we do not practice anymore, is trepanning. So it basically is a way that they try to alleviate pressure and treat health problems localized within the head. It was also thought to cure epilepsy, migraines, and mental disorders, and were a common fix for physical problems such as skull fractures. And so this is basically boring a small hole into your skull until the membrane, the outer membrane of your brain, is actually exposed. And of course, this is definitely not a great idea because, one, you're cutting a hole into your skull, which is extremely painful. And I just feel like that. And again, without local anesthetics or general anesthesia, I can't imagine the pain that these patients had to suffer. And then you're exposing your brain to airborne germs, and that alone can be very fatal and deadly. And it's not something, and the creepy kind of thing about this is that it's not really totally abandoned. It was actually performed as recently documented, at least as recently as in 2000, when two men in the U.S., here in the United States, used it to treat a woman suffering from chronic fatigue syndrome and depression. So it's something that some people still believe in and clearly try. I definitely do not suggest that is something that you try. And then also kind of going on that same vein of like leeching is, you know, it's called bloodletting. So bloodletting, where they believed, okay, so let me get this. So excess blood was often seen as the cause of multiple ailments, especially during the Middle Ages. So blood was thought to, that if you could remove large quantities of blood from a person's veins and hope that it would cure them. And so the main ways that they did this were through leeching, which, you know, they put the leeches on you and they were hoping that it would suck the blood, and also the illness from the patient. And then there's also another one, which is called venine section, which is basically where the doctor literally cuts open a vein using a small knife and allows the blood to drain from the body. It was so common that some people actually regularly drain their blood just because it would help keep them healthy, and that they just felt that you needed to always remove the bad blood and whatever toxins and ailments that may be in your body, that if you did it on a regular basis, it would help prevent those things from actually occurring or manifesting within your body and that you would stay healthy. So I don't know if that sounds not as nice now, but then you do have some celebrities such as Kim Kardashian who do like those vampire facials with the blood on their face. So I don't know, maybe in another, what, 500 years, they're going to be talking about some of the practices that we have now and think of them as crude and disgusting and just downright not smart at all. So we'll see. And with that, we're going to cut it to a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to wrap up this section. So this part was all about medieval practices and some things that they did in medical science a long, 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 long time ago. And thankfully, not too much is still practiced today. But then I want to also jump into some other bizarre remedies and other practices and medical advances that are taking place now that aren't as crude as some of these may have been, but are just as gross and kind of creepy and make my skin crawl just the same. So keep it locked here. You're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. I will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. So I wanted to jump into some other bizarre, weird, creepy, interesting health and remedies that from around the world. And also I wanted to get into some bizarre, interesting, considering for to some of us at least, other tricks and tips from home remedies as well. And these are things that, like, again, some people believe in them, some people try them, some people don't, some people hope that they never have to try them. And I mean, maybe they do at one time, at least it got your mind off the situation. I don't know. Like, people always say, like, I remember my dad used to joke with us. So I'd be like, oh, my thumb hurts or something. And he'd be like, well, then don't use your thumb. Or, well, if you then kick a wall, because then your thumb won't hurt anymore because now your toe does. So now, you know, distraction. I don't know. Or like when a baby's crying and you try to make them laugh because then they're not worried about the situation. So maybe some of these are just distractions and they've just evolved and continued to be passed along from generation to generation. But here are some bizarre health remedies from just like around the world, and some that are maybe more just interesting than actually useful. So tying a peacock feather to the leg cures lethal snake venom. I don't see how that could work. I don't know what a peacock feather has to do with snake venom running through your veins, especially if it's from a deadly snake. I don't know. I really think that you should go to the doctor. Let's see. cow dung keeps home antiseptic and cool when used as flooring cement. I don't know. Perhaps I can kind of see, especially a long time ago, or maybe even now in some places, using cow dung as flooring cement versus other natural resources may actually be used better. I don't know. Let's see. Cow urine can cure liver problems, cancers, heart ailments, AIDS, and constipation. In some places in India, it is actually being developed into a healthy soft drink. So kind of like Sprite. I don't know. Would I try it? Maybe a sip, just to say that I tried it. But then, I don't know. Because, I mean, we say, ew, there's cow urine in there. But then there's also, in regular sodas, there's also detrimental and cancer-causing agents and things that we consume on a daily basis. So, I don't know. This one's supposed to help with cancer. So, it's healthy. I don't know. Let's see. This one, I don't know. Green apples can cure claustrophobia. So for some of us that are not, we don't like being enclosed in tight areas, in places and crammed, green apples can help perhaps cure that. A beer bath to help slow down aging. Bat's blood for help curing eye infections. And then that's a spider's web can be used for a cure for malaria. So I don't know. I don't think that I will ever be able to acquire any bat's blood. I don't think I will ever want to collect spider webs or actually even get malaria. So I don't know if I will ever be able to try that. And again, these are just probably things that have been passed down from generation to generation that maybe were more for just a distraction, a placebo effect, or people really did try it. And at least maybe it helped them feel better for a while. But then, you know, again, the whole idea of cutting a hole in your head to relieve pain and migraines may have helped, but then you died from an infection to the brain. So I don't know. It may help alleviate one thing, but then you open up a whole can of worms and problems and expose yourself to other problems. So I don't know. A beer bath to help slow down aging. I mean, I would try that one. I think that one's a safe one to try. Or green apples to help cure claustrophobia. Maybe. I really don't agree with the whole peacock feather tying it to your leg to cure lethal snake venom. Rush me to the doctor, especially if I get bit by a snake, and let them do what they do. Shoot me with some anti-venom. That's what I need. If that ever happens to me, that's not something that I think that I would ever waver from. I don't think tying anything to my leg, except for maybe they mean tying, like, you know, you tie a peacock feather, because this is one that I can see that evolved from and that has some truth behind it. Maybe when you tie the peacock feather so tight with string, or not string, you know, like with a strap or cloth around your leg so tight to where it starts to stop the blood flow, you know, kind of as like adding that pressure to your leg. So I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense to me either. I was just trying to go for that whole entire vibe of when you're bleeding and they say tie something tight around your leg to stop the bleeding, to stop the blood flow, adding that pressure and things like that. That's kind of like, maybe that's what they meant. And then it just evolved to tying a peacock feather. Maybe somebody's child got bit by a snake and they were trying to tie a cloth to their leg and keep the pressure on and to stop that bleeding and things like that. And they added a peacock feather because it made their child stop crying as hard. So I can see something like that evolving and turning into this. I don't think that you should do that instead of going to the doctor. Definitely no siree, Bob. You better go to the doctor or have a doctor come to you, whatever comes first. But anyway, so with that, I'm going to cut it to my second and final break of the day. And then we're going to discuss some bizarre home remedies. So keep it locked here, as well as, oh, I wanted to talk about moths today and a medical advancement that, you know, is in the works, like I said, because remember how I just mentioned earlier in the podcast, some of these things sound very outdated and ridiculous to us now, but at that time it was very common practice. So I'm interested to see kind of like that time capsule effect where later on, when my grandkids, grandkids are, you know, running around and healthy and things like that, I'm wondering what kind of practices that they're going to giggle and laugh at when I pass some of these things down to my grandkids and say, oh, well, this is what we used to do. And they're going to be like, no, grandma, that's old school, or that doesn't really work. It's been, you know, proven that it doesn't really work. And I'm like, no, it worked for me and it'll work for you. So keep it locked here. You're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. So I wanted to wrap up this episode with some current research that's taking place in the medical world that's kind of creepy and kind of weird to me and a little bit disgusting. But hey, they're saying that it may work. And again, this is stuff that, you know, it's kind of weird, but it could work. And then also, I wanted to discuss a little bit more with you guys some bizarre, interesting home remedies that claim to actually work. So we're moving along. We started off with medieval practices that we none of us really agree with, right? Well, most of us, I don't know. And then some health remedies that may or may not be more just for, I don't know. I don't think that they really work. I would try the beer bath. I don't know how many times you would have to take a beer bath, though, in order to see any anti-aging properties or any changes in wrinkles or anything like that. But anyways, so one thing that I wanted to discuss with you guys is using muscles to manage toothache. So with sensitive teeth and with a lot of tooth pain, it develops once the harder outer enamel of our teeth wears away and then the softer underlying dentin is now exposed. And that's what becomes sensitive to things such as sensitivity to things that are hot or cold stimulus. So now we can use pain-fighting toothpaste and chewing gum and things like that, rinses that contain minerals that will help augment the enamel, but they don't really help rebuild it. And so it's basically just a temporary fix, and that's why you have to continue using it every single day, every morning, and it doesn't have any lasting effects or solution for it. Well, some Chinese scientists have turned to mussels. And now if you know about mussels, they secrete an adhesive to attach to underwater rocks. It's really, really hard to try to remove mussels and things like that from rocks when they clamp, well, not clamp, but like stick and adhere themselves to different surfaces. Now they have created a substance with similar properties that create that adhesive and stickiness. And when scientists coated the worn out teeth with this muscle-like adhesive and then soaked them in a bath of minerals, the teeth actually rebuilt a protective layer that is very, very similar to enamel. Now, this could be really a positive thing and a great thing that could lead to better products for sensitive teeth and a better methods for a more permanent and lasting solution in people's lives, especially who suffer from teeth sensitivity. I can see why that would be a very, very big deal. And I mean, that one's not as creepy. It's kind of weird, but it's not as creepy, I guess you could say. And then another method that is being worked on and being studied right now is that, okay, so is an allergy-free flu vaccine by way of moths. Those little fuzzy, flying, weird things that aren't beautiful at butterflies, but they're not really ugly either. But they're just kind of like flying around and stuff, and they're kind of freaky. They can get really big. So flu vaccines are typically produced by growing the flu virus inside chicken eggs. So the problem with this is that people who are, you know, allergic to eggs can develop serious reactions. Now, there is actually a new FDA-approved vaccine called Flublok, which basically avoids this risk by replicating the virus cells in from the fall armyworm moth. Okay, that's the fall armyworm moth. Kind of like a little tongue twister for me. I couldn't really say that well. But the method has been used for other vaccines, but not for the flu until now. And so it allows for the vaccine to produce actually quicker. And then it also, so that's very helpful as far as when we need extra doses for example, if there's ever a pandemic or just a shortage of the flu vaccine. And then it will also be a lot more helpful for people who suffer from different allergies. So it's a really, I think that's really positive, especially for people that always get the flu vaccine or who may not get the flu vaccine because of the different allergies that they are exposed to when receiving the flu vaccination. And so I think it's very helpful. It's another medical advance that is kind of weird getting it from moths, but it's helpful. And luckily somebody has tried this in order to produce a flu vaccine that can be potentially used by the masses. And it is actually supposed to be available this upcoming flu season. So we'll see about that. And now before we wrap up this episode of the podcast, let's see. I know that we have just a little bit more time, but I wanted to discuss also some, you know, remedies that may work. So curing cuticle infections with vinegar, which, I mean, this one does not surprise me. In last week's episode, we did talk about using vinegar to, you know, clean the home and things like that. And so it can also eliminate infections, especially after, because it's a natural antibacterial product as far as vinegar is concerned. And so if you pick at your cuticles, you bite them, or if you go get a manicure and sometimes if they're just a little bit too aggressive, you can apply white vinegar combined with warm water for 15 minutes. And if you do that daily until it kind of like heals up, that does help with curing cuticle infections with vinegar. You can also ease nausea with ginger. Now, you know, it does help with, you know, cleaning out your stomach. It helps with breaking up gases within your intestines as well. And so it can help ease. And that's why some people, like when your stomach hurts, this is something that my dad would have us do growing up, drinking ginger ale or ginger tea, and or even eating ginger candy made with real ginger. I personally would probably now love, actually even today right now, it sounds great. Ginger tea right now sounds really good. I don't really like ginger as far as eating it, like what people, some people eat it with sushi. I don't really like eating it. However, I will drink ginger tea and ginger ale. I love it. And even ginger candy is really, really good to me. So, and then also, let's see, you can bypass motion sickness with lemon. So I'm actually going to have my friend try this because she gets motion sickness whenever we're in the car. It can be really bad for her sometimes. So it is often accompanied by excess salivating. Now, the bitter and astringent compounds found in lemons as well as in olives as well can dry out the mouth, eliminating saliva and in turn easing the nausea as well. So I'm going to have her try this. I do want to have her try this one because I think that might help her, especially, and you know, we can try it and what's the hurt in that, right? And then last but not least, this one is kind of interesting to me. I really don't know, because